today and tomorrow we prepare for all next week and beyond for the discourse of our Lord on the bread of life, which is himself. And it's also his word. I want to read a very, very beautiful text from this thing, this study that the community has been urged to get a hold of and read. You get it. It doesn't work automatically. If you just buy it, put it on your table, you're no smarter. You got to pick it up and read it. Now, there's a phrase in here which is very beautiful, and I want to read this because it's an underlying principle of the whole discourse that we're going to be studying next week. See, today we do the multiplication, and then you know, in all the Gospels, but I guess all, our Lord comes to the disciples walking on the water and reveals himself as Adonai. Don't be afraid. Ego imi, I am. And I'll try to when we do that tomorrow. This is the principle. It comes from this document by Benedict. The sacramentality of the word. I'm going to go back a line before that. The sacramental character of revelation points in turn to the history of salvation, to the way the word of God enters time and space and speaks to men and women who are called to accept his gift in faith. So the word of God comes. Finally, the word of God comes himself. You see? But the word of God comes. Now, the sacramentality of the word. This is a beautiful phrase. Not used much nowadays, but it was. But it's, the Pope wants to reintroduce it. That's why he's got it here. And it had already been used by John Paul II. What does it mean? What is a sacrament? Sacrament is a sign that causes what it signifies. Now, apply that to the word. The word causes what it signifies. It's not just a word. That's why the Pope starts to use this phrase, the sacramentality of the word can thus be understood by analogy with the real presence of Christ under the appearance of the consecrated bread and wine. There's an analogy between this and that. It's the same Christ. He's feeding us. By approaching the altar and partaking in the Eucharistic banquet, we truly share in the body and blood of Christ. The proclamation of God's word at the celebration entails an acknowledgement that Christ himself is present, and that he speaks to us. That's the teaching of Vatican II already, before this synod. Whereas in the document on the liturgy where it says, when the word of God is read out and proclaimed, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. And so, and that he wishes to be heard. Saint Jerome speaks of the way we ought to approach both the Eucharist and the Word of God. Quote, we are reading the sacred scriptures. For me, the gospel is the body of Christ. For me, the holy scriptures are his teaching. And when he says, whoever does not eat my flesh and drink my blood, even though these words can also be understood of the Eucharistic mystery, Christ's body and blood are really the word of Scripture, God's teaching. When we approach the Eucharist mystery, if a crumb falls to the ground, we are troubled. Yet when we are listening to the word of God and God's word and Christ's flesh and blood are being poured into our ears, yet we pay no heed. What great peril should we not feel? Then the Pope goes on, Christ, truly present under the species of bread and wine is analogously present. Christ is analogously present in the word proclaimed in the liturgy. Isn't that revolutionary? It really isn't. It's old hat, but it's been obscured. I'm going to read that line again. That's the theme we're putting on a institute this summer for preaching. And the theme is that line. Christ, truly present under the species of bread and wine, is analogously present in the word proclaimed in the liturgy. A deeper sacramentality of God's word can thus lead us to a more unified understanding of the mystery of revelation, which takes place, and then he quotes Vatican II, with deeds and words intimately connected. Why do you think that receiving the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ produces so little fruit? Because the word of God doesn't prepare people. They sit there, hear it, chat, get distracted. They don't treasure the word of God. Christ is coming. So they get to the other part of the liturgy and they're just as distracted. It's a unity. Did you want to say something? All right. That's right.
I stumbled over that, but I understood it. You're saying the same thing now, that the word is both icon and reality.
In a way, yes. See, an icon is the reality present, but under a form not native to itself. Look, that's Our Lady, right? Well, it's the reality of Our Lady, but in a form, and the icons are different than just pictures, too, you see? The Eucharist is the icon. It's the reality present. But Jesus is glorious. He's the Lord of the universe. He's surrounded by angels and saints. He shows the world his wounds in an act of compassion. That's Jesus. That's the Jesus who's here. So this Eucharist is Jesus Christ truly present, but not under the form that is proper to himself, which is glory. This is mercy that he does this for us. So it's an icon. Now you see, if you get the idea that an icon is not a picture, you can see why I say that. I've stopped saying it a bit because people are getting all mixed up. Is he saying it's just a picture? No. See, an icon. That's why we have this phrase. This was not the homily I prepared, but it'll be all right. We in Letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 1, the law, having the sketch of the good things to come, but not the very icon of the realities. Now, what is he doing there? He's dividing world history, right? We have the first part, we have the sketch, the skia, the shadow of the realities to come, but not the very icon, which is the word and the sacrament. It's Christ. You see, we have the icon. The Jews have the sketch. But we both want the realities. See what I'm saying? I hope you do. So that's history, you see. Oh, they all picked this up. First time I read that, I thought, I discovered something. And then it's in Ambrose, it's in Augustine, it's in everybody. They figured it out before I did. But you see, it's so the whole of God's dispensation, starting with the choice of Abraham, that is all, you see, the sketch of the good realities to come. It's an outline, it's a sketch, it's a shadow. Skia means all those things in Greek. But not, you see, the auftin, teen ikona, not the very icon of the realities, some of the good things to come. So we're between the sketch and the full manifestation of the realities. We live in the world of icon. We have the reality, but not in the form proper to it. The Eucharist is his gift. We're going to be doing now for weeks this notion. But this is why Catherine of Siena said, Lord, every time she received the Eucharist, thank you. This is so great. Wow. But how long do we have to keep it up like this? I want to see you. This is a symbol. This is an icon. This is you. I'm no doubt about that. But it's not you. Like, I want to see you and be with you, touch you, adore you, see your face and see you smile. I want to be with you forever. That's where we're going. And so there is the law, there is the New Testament with the sacraments, and then there's reality, where we're going. And so today we start that, and I wanted to read that. Oh my gosh, I must be, yeah, I do. So we have to, this order is the same in the Gospels. We have this multiplication. Then we have the walking on the water. And then in John alone, we have this long discourse about the bread of life. Well, which one of these is the bread of life? Ultimately, Jesus himself, glorious, surrounded by angels and saints, embraced by the Father, you know, just looked upon all day with love by Mary. That's the reality. We're not there. But we have the icon. We have the reality. But not in the form proper to itself. Is that clear? But we have it. That's the glory of this grace. And what the Pope is saying here is, we have this icon in two forms, the Word and the Sacrament. And you just heard what he said. Christ is present analogously in the Word preached as he is in the Eucharist. That's news, isn't it? You all knew that before. No, you didn't. But that's the principle. So I wanted to read that out because that's going to govern. And you see how the church, we're in the time now of Easter, right? We're celebrating the presence of the risen Christ among us. So we just finished a whole discourse on baptism. And now we start another discourse on Eucharist. Because this is the life of the church. In the meanwhile, the book of Acts is telling us what life is like in the trenches. You know? They just got beat up. And that was 39 lashes with a rod, you know? It wasn't easy. And they go home thrilled to death that they had the privilege of suffering for Jesus. You know? I know I got to quit, but this is... when I was working and living in Rome, there were these kids who were out on the street preaching. I used to preach with them. And this pastor outside Rome, starting into the Abruzzi Mountains, he had a really tough parish. It was a communist parish. And he said, could you come out and preach in my parish? And I said, yeah, we'll go. Then I thought, boy, I'm taking these kids out there. Who knows what's going to happen, you know? Communists don't play games. But I told them that, and they were thrilled. We might get a chance to suffer for Jesus. So we went out there. Now, of course, I'm the only one that spoke Italian. They were all Americans, and, you know. So I was translating for them and helping and so forth. And these communists, they were like lambs. To see these kids with such pure faces talk about Jesus, it just melted them. But we were going out there, you know, and I thought, oh boy, I've got these kids in all this trouble. But it was heavenly. You see? But going out, everybody was excited. Maybe tonight we'll suffer for Jesus.